The scripture for today's message is Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside a road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the title of today's sermon is Heart Filled. While I was preparing for this sermon, I remembered what my grandmother told me when I was little. I was an elementary school student at the time. Whenever I swept a room with a broom, I was curious of something. It was about dust and sand I swept from new rooms. So I asked my grandmother once, Grandma, it's strange. Where did this dust and sand come from? Then she answered me so gently. They fall from the body of us, people. It's because God made us human beings with dust from the ground. Of course, they don't fall from our bodies, actually. It might be some crumbs from house materials or some dust from outside. But it was her wisdom to plant God the Creator in her granddaughter's heart. It was engraved in my heart so clearly. And later, I came to clearly understand the meaning of the word in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being through our shepherd's sermons, message of the cross. In our Sunday school, when children learn about the message of the cross, those who don't have enough spiritual knowledge or newly registered in the church ask questions like this. Principal or pastor, why did God have to make man of the dust from the ground? He could have made him of strong iron. They think if man is made of iron, he will not be sick but strong. But we know why God made man of the dust from the ground through our shepherd's sermon. God made man of the dust from the ground to cultivate man. Man chooses good or evil with his free will, and he experiences the relativity through it. By pulling out evil from the heart and getting rid of the sins of the world, Adam's heart can return to his first heart, which is the heart of good soil. God opened this possibility. Why is that? It's because soil has a character of changing. Its character becomes different according to what you add to the soil. That is, although our hearts became infertile after the first man Adam's disobedience, our hearts can change into good soil if we keep cultivating the soil. If you are farmers, you will know this character of soil very well. When the soil lost its vitality, if you fertilize it, it will recover its vitality. On the contrary, even if it is a good soil, if you put a lot of polluted water into it, or if you don't take care of it, it will soon become infertile. It's the same with men's hearts made of the dust from the ground. If you put something good in the heart, it will become a good heart. If you put in something evil, it will become an evil heart. Of course, men inherit many aspects from their parents and ancestors, but their hearts filled are formed differently according to the kind of environment which they are raised and the teachings they receive. The fruit and its abundancy can be remarkably different according to the character of the heart filled. You and I met the true shepherd in this precious church, and we keep receiving the seeds of the word from Father God unceasingly. He's been sowing the seeds in our hearts so that we can bear not only the spiritual fruits, such as the fruit of the Beatitudes, of the Holy Spirit, and of the light, but also the fruit of blessings in wealth and health. Moreover, God allowed the flow of Holy Spirit this year, and He's sowing the seeds of blessings ceaselessly. Through this, many of us are bearing fruit of the rock, Spirit, and Holy Spirit. Is there anyone who thinks, I'm slow to bear that fruit, I'm bearing too little fruit, or even there is no sign of bearing fruit in me? When senior pastor explained about the rules of sowing and reaping, he said, the first thing we should do is to cultivate our hearts. And in order to cultivate our heart, the first thing we should do is to check what kind of heart field we have. It's because only when we know the kind of our heart field, we can know which tools we should use and how to cultivate it. Through the Mommy magazine about 2015 Leaders Conference, I watched our members saying they had checked their hearts by themselves. They said, my heart was like a roadside, so I forgot the grace I received, but I made up my mind to change. Or, my heart was solid and rough, but the sweet rain of grace came into my heart. Likewise, if you know the kind of your heart field, you can cultivate it into good soil much more easily. If your heart becomes good soil, you will not only bear the fruit by 30, 60, or 100 times more, but also you will bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit that our Father God truly wants us to bear. Today, I'd like to explain mainly about on the rocky field and the thorny field, which are big obstacles when we cultivate our hearts into good soil, based on the senior pastor's sermon, Cultivate Heart Field. I hope you change your heart as a beautiful field of good soil through this message so that you can bear the fruit of Holy Spirit, the ultimate purpose of human cultivation. Dear members, today's passage, Matthew 13:3-9, is about the parable of heart fields, which we all know very well. Jesus explained about men's hearts by classifying them in four different categories. They are the roadside, the rocky field, and the thorny field, and the field of good soil. There is one thing we should understand. These four fields are just the most representative models of human heart fields. And most people's hearts will have some attributes of all these four kinds of hearts. While I'm ministering in children's Sunday school, I feel that the heart field of each child is different, even though they are little children. There is a program for newcomers in our children's Sunday school, like the program for grown-ups. It's to plant faith to children who newly came by introducing God the Creator, why Jesus is our Savior, heaven and hell, and the evidences of the living God. For example, we explain about the Lord's passion on the cross, and the reason why He wore the crown of thorns, and the reason why He was nailed in His hands and feet. We also show them a video about it. Some children turn their faces saying, it's scary. And some children just watch it without showing any interest. On the contrary, some children listen to the message about the cross and accept the Lord who died for them from their heart. I'll tell you about a sister who is a five grader. She used to speak following the secular trend, and she thought about pop singers and celebrities all the time. So when I visited her, I showed the crown of thorns to that sister and explained about the cross of our Lord and details. And I explained about, and I prayed for her with the handkerchief of the power of the shepherd. Then, suddenly, she began to cry. Looking at the crown of thorns, she said, "It's weird, tears flow from my eyes." Because her heart is not a hard raw side, but a heart like soft soil. When the seed of the gospel was sown, she shed tears before she knew it. Also, we sometimes introduce our mummies, dragonflies, to newcomers. Even they're watching the video about dragonflies sitting on people's hands. Some children ask, why do they put the dead dragonflies on their hands? Or some of them look at it with a doubt. Some other children look at it with a curiosity for some moments, but that's it. However, some children watch the video of dragonflies very carefully, without a doubt. Then, a pastor in charge of newcomers will explain to them, God opened the space of spirit and sent these dragonflies particularly to our church members. Because He loves our members, He's expressing His love through dragonflies. He sends dragonflies to make us happy every year. Then, children listen to it carefully, nodding their heads. And they accept it in their heart. There is this gracious story. A sixth grader who newly registered in the church began to believe that God sent the dragonflies after he watched the video about dragonflies. He came to attend Sunday worship service and Saturday Christian worship diligently. And one day I heard the happy news from a pastor. During his birthday in his school, a dragonfly came to him and sat on his hand. He registered in our church recently, but because he believed and accepted the word of God with a good heart, he was allowed to have such an experience of faith. Well, then let's now look into the four heart fields in earnest. First heart field is the roadside. Matthew 13:3, letter part through 14 said, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Nowadays, the roads are well paved, but when I was little, sometimes I stepped on the field because there were not clear distinctions between the field and the road. Sometimes people didn't walk around the field, but cut across the field to take a shortcut. Then the field became hardened, and it became like a road in the middle of the field. Then some seeds fell on these roadways away from the fields. Those seeds fallen on the roadside cannot take root, but disappear by being trampled by people. Moreover, a bird comes and eats the seed." Then what is the spiritual meaning of this roadside that our senior pastor explained? It symbolizes a hardened heart. Namely, the roadside-like field is full of self-righteousness and frameworks that have been hardened over a period of time. For example, when we preach to our family members or relatives, we can find some people who don't even want to begin to hear us. It's because they measure the word of God by their own self-righteousness and frameworks. They cannot understand nor accept it in their hearts. For example, when they hear, "Jesus died on the cross because of our sins," they get angry and say, "I can live well without law. I've never sinned. Why am I a sinner?" Some people say, "Are you telling me to believe that someone I don't know had died for me? I'd rather believe my faith," and close their heart. If you show the clear evidence to people who are hardened by their self-evil, they cannot believe it. The representative person was Pharaoh, who did not believe in God even after experiencing the 10 plagues. It was 10 times of plagues. The plagues became a crisis to the whole nation of Egypt. But even at the worst moment that the nation could be collapsed, and the Pharaoh didn't acknowledge God. Even though he confirmed that God was alive, he became blind because of his evil. When you read the book of Exodus or listen to the sermons about 10 plagues, you feel the Pharaoh is so pitiful, don't you? However, this Pharaoh is not the only one who has this kind of heart. There are people who live their Christian lives while closing their spiritual eyes and ears. They come to church on Sundays, but they don't accept the Word of God in their heart. For example, there is a person who has been a Christian for many years. Although he's attending church for years, he always fell into idle thoughts and drowsiness in a worship service. Strangely, he doesn't feel tiredness until he arrives at the church. But once the sermon begins, he feels so sleepy. And from the moment the preacher finishes the sermon, he becomes sober again. He lived his Christian life like this, and after all, he faced a financial difficulty. He got in a big trouble because he stood surety for someone. The pastor in charge said, "You should not stand surety even for a brother," and told him to repent first. Actually, our shepherd tells us not to stand surety for anyone several times a year. So the pastor said it to him in order to make him realize his disobedience. However, after the visitation service, he asked the pastor like this, "Pastor, I've never heard such words. When did the senior pastor say that?" It's true that he couldn't hear that word because of drowsiness. However, he dozed off whenever he listened to sermons, mainly because he passed judgment and doubted about the words. Some people don't receive grace by sermons, but evaluate the preachers whether they preach well or not. Whenever they hear sermons, they think, "He says it again, I already know it." Or, "It is not according to reason of the world." No matter how many times we listen to the word, it's more important to try to fulfill it. But because they know the word only by knowledge, they think they know everything and they don't listen to it. Then their spiritual ears become more deafened. And even though they hear the word, Satan comes and snatches away the word right away. Of course, in this case, their whole heart is not a roadside like Harfield, but a part of it is roadside. Still, they believe Jesus Christ and they are attending church. But what is important is that you should listen to the word and change. In order to do so, you need to find a roadside in your heart and cultivate it. Faith comes from hearing. Unless you open your spiritual ears, you cannot have faith, even though you are sitting in the sanctuary for 10, 20, or 30 years. How do you listen to the word? You must take the word like a sponge that absorbs water. When you hear a spiritually deep message, you don't say you cannot understand it, but you accept it, saying amen with a longing heart. During the leaders' conference, I could see our members trying not to miss any single word when our shepherd talked about the heart of the Father. None of you must say, "The level of lectures was too high to understand it." It might be difficult to understand in your faith, but because you listen to it with a longing heart for change, you could understand it easily within your own measure of faith. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, no one has only heart of good soil from the beginning. But if you realize what kind of a heart filled your heart is, and if you try to fill the shortage and to change to the end, even the heart like a roadside can change. Next, I'll explain about the rocky field. Matthew 13:5-6 say, "Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Rocky places have little soil on the rocks. When seeds have fallen in this kind of place, they spring up, but because the soil is shallow, they cannot take its root in the depth, so they will soon be scorched by the sunshine. To what kind of heart does this rocky field refer? It is explained very well in Matthew 12, 20, and 21. The one who on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. That is, those who have the heart of a rocky field do understand the word that they hear. They receive it with joy and receive grace. However, although they listen to the word and understood it, because they don't have the strength to take it in their heart, deeds of faith don't follow. Then what is the spiritual meaning of rocks here? It is the flesh of heart that is the untruth that keeps them from obeying the word. In a more narrow sense of the meaning, it is the fleshly attributes that make people desire to take in lustful things of the world. And in a broader sense, it is the untruth that keeps people from believing in God and loving Him. And there are various types of rocky field. First, there are rocky fields that have big rocks placed deeply in the field. It's the case that even though they are Christians, they have so strong fleshly attributes to take in lustful things of the world. They heard the word to keep the Lord's Day holy, but on Sunday they break it because they cannot give up the benefit from the before their eyes. They heard the word to cast off their loving heart for the world, but because they cannot thrust the lust of the world, such as greed about money and adulterous mind, they leave the church after all. There is another case like this. Some people leave church from an uncomfortable relationship with people because their evil attribute called hatred is so strong. 일꾼과 걸리게 되면 교회를 떠나버리게 되는 이러한 선택까지도 하게 되는 것입니다. The rocky field is different from the roadside. They accept the gospel and acknowledge the fact that they should practice the word as they vaguely believe that there is heaven. But they have too many untruths and evil that keep them from having spiritual faith. So they easily set aside their faith and do the lawlessness. Next case is that the rocks of the untruths are smaller and placed less deeply. They don't leave God because they know the word, but they live their Christian lives putting one foot in the world and the other in church. For example, they make up their mind, even with tears, to live by the word of God after attending a gracious meeting. Also, they easily become full of the Spirit when they hear and experience the works of God. They say, God is truly alive. The power of the shepherd is so great. But if they face with any temptation or persecutions, their fullness of the Holy Spirit disappears and soon go back to old habits and befriend the world. While they are listening to the word, they think they shouldn't live like that. But when they go back home, they go back to the world again. Lastly, some rocky fields are only partially rocky. People with this heart field practice some of the word of God, but not all the word of God they hear. Of course, they are better than the previous types where no fruit can be born. But there may be a side effect that a part of the field left to follow. This side effect makes them not easy to find out their shortcomings. For example, if they have been recognized for a long time and their fruit is outstanding, they cannot realize what they still lack. Because they keep holding their outstanding parts, their eyes are covered and they don't try to cultivate their heart. For example, there is a person who has been faithful in one duty without any changing of mind for a long time. He's been doing any hard works, keeping his position. He was recognized by others and he became a head in his group. However, he still has a rock called hatred in his heart. Because of this, he has conflicts with others in every matter. If others don't agree to his opinion, he feels uneasy and thinks, are they ignoring me? If people don't follow him as much as he tries, his hot temper and ill feelings come out. Likewise, if you don't pull out the rock called hatred, you cannot bear the fruit of love and kindness, no matter how faithful you are. Another person is gentle and understands others and humors them. In the meeting, he listens to others' opinions and accepts them without any rejection. But at the situation he has to sacrifice, he gives various excuses and leaves it to others. Also, when he has to take responsibility for any work, he avoids it or steps back from it cowardly. It's that his selfish heart became partially hardened like a rock. If they don't change but still have this aspect after many years, even if they've borne the fruit of peace or kindness to some extent, it's difficult for them to become greater vessels. The blessings given through the duty will be limited, and people cannot really give them very important duties. Likewise, if we don't cultivate the parts left to follow, after all, we will meet the limit in growing faith in general. So because rocks are untruth that keeps the word from taking root, we should pull it out immediately when we find it. First, we ourselves should understand how big and how hard this rock of untruth is and how deeply it is embedded. Most rocks have been formed by the environment and experiences. No matter how good soil your heart is, if you are exposed to worldly untruth from your childhood, the rocks of untruth become solid. So our shepherd emphasizes that our parents should teach your children well in truth and spirit. From which age? You should begin to teach them from the 6th month of pregnancy, where spirit is given to the children. From age 3 or 4, they have ego and they set up their own thought. I feel the importance of this word very much while I'm ministering in children's Sunday school. For example, there are children whose words and actions are very rough, although they are little. They express their feelings of dislike excessively. Also, they often threaten other children with aggressive actions. If we talk with their parents, parents say that their actions, way of speech, and method of expression are like those of the parents in quarrel. When the parents saw their actions and heard their children's speech, then they were surprised to see that. After all, those children have the rock called hot temper from their childhood through parents. Some children always speak negative words like a habit. When we talk about heaven, they say, it has nothing to do with me. When we tell them how to cut off the worldly things, they say, can I do it? I don't think I can. Also, in this case, if we talk with their parents, we find that they said no a lot to their children. They didn't explain the reason why they must not do it, but they just cut their words and said no to their children. Because such negative words are planted in the children's heart, and whenever they make mistakes in their school life or Christian life, they condemn themselves, saying, I may be impossible. And from it, their frustration or negative thoughts become hardened like a rock. Of course, when you educate your children, it's essential to teach them how to discern good from evil and truth from untruth. However, every time you teach them, you need to check whether you're speaking with ill feelings or rather giving them negative thoughts. We heard how our shepherd educated his 3 daughters when they were little. For example, if children treasure and love a doll too much, it may become an idol that they love more than God. So when senior pastor controlled such heart of his daughters, he didn't just say, throw them away now because God hates them. Rather, he planted a hopeful message to them.
어떻게 말씀해 주는지 말씀드리겠습니다.
He told them, there are much prettier those who can even talk in heaven.
이렇게 말씀해 주셨습니다.
He must mean angels. He made them choose better things with a hope and right things with joy by themselves.
심어주셨던 것을 봅니다. 또 다른 예를 들면 연단을 받는 상황.
Even in the situation of refinement, some bear a rock called untruth and heart, and some have hope from refinement. For example, a family suddenly began to have a difficulty in finance. Some parents delivered their refinements to the children as it is. The father's face is full of tiredness and all the time. The mother looks unsatisfied and irritated always. If children grow up looking at their parents who always sigh without any conversation in family, what kind of rocks will be placed? A rock of greed for money may be formed. They may become obsessed over money, or they will treasure money more than people, more than men. But there is another family in the same reality of difficulty from poverty. But parents don't show their difficulty before the children. By the power of faith and by the power of family, they go through the refinements with joy and thanks. Even if they cannot give enough to their children, they deliver their heart of love to the children even with a small thing. Then, rather than a rock formed, the children will have the heart of giving and considering others. Well, I told you this before, but my family once had a financial difficulty for some time. Then Pastor Myung Lee, the grand-great parish pastor at the time, visited my family. And she told us how she'd lived in her childhood. Five members of her family had to live in one room from poverty, but she didn't feel it hard, but all her family lived happily at the time. One day she had to prepare an apron for a class in her school. Because they couldn't afford to an apron, Mrs. Lee embroidered a pretty picture on some fabric in the house and made an apron. It might be shabby comparing to other students' new aprons, but rather it became only one apron in the world, and those times became a happy memory to her. Her story encouraged me to pass the refinement with thanks at the time. Let me tell you another case. It's the case that a wife is persecuted by her husband about her Christian life. A brother skipped the Sunday worship service once, and his mother came to me for counseling. She explained why his son couldn't attend worship service and asked me to meet him and pray for him. The reason is that he was indulged in games. I was surprised to hear that because he's been attending church since he was a toddler and he's never skipped Sunday morning service so far. Then is it only because of games? What's the real reason? I had a deep thought and I had a long conversation with his mother. And after the conversation, I found out the reason. When her son was little, she was severely persecuted by her husband. She showed that hard and difficult Christian life to her son as it was. Sometimes she was full of hatred of her husband, and he showed it to her son. When she was persecuted too much to overcome by her weak faith, she left her little son alone at home for hours. Because she didn't have strength to overcome it by faith, she didn't have space to take care of her child with love at the time. It caused this kid to have fear from the persecutions about faith in God, and it was planted as darkness in him. What is worse, the rock of loving the world, the opposite to God, came to settle in his heart naturally. In addition, It's the same when you fight against sins to circumcise your heart. Your parents are praying fervently with fasting to cast off evil in order to fulfill sanctification. When you cast off sins, how much do you enjoy it? How happily are you casting them off? Our shepherd said he never felt it hard to cast off untruth by many prayers and fasting since he was a novice believer. Because he loved God, he got a great joy and happiness whenever he got rid of sins. Of course, when we get rid of deep root of evil and sinful attributes, we need to struggle extremely sometimes. But if we think about the moment of pulling out of the root of sinful nature to fulfill the heart of spirit and whole spirit, we can endure it with thanks. However, some parents plant a wrong sense to their children while they are fulfilling the sanctification. For example, some children say, this child said, "Hush, mommy is fasting." Let me explain this situation. Because his mother get much irritated when she fast. These children said like that. Of course, most of the mothers of our church don't do like this, but while fasting, some of them cannot be faithful in housework as they don't have much strength. Some of them nag a lot, saying, "My children are now grown up, but they don't help me," or "They'd rather make the house messy." Some other children say, when mom comes back from home after prayer meeting, she nags a lot. She came back home and she found out the children didn't do their homework and then she nags a lot. Then, even if parents tell the children not to cease to pray and to pray to gain strength to guard the world, they cannot obey willingly. But our shepherd always planted a hope in us so that we can live a happy Christian life. For example, our shepherd says, it's easy to quit drinking or smoking. He said, if you smoke, your fingers smell smoking and your family hates it. You spend much money for it. It isn't good for your health and you may get a lung cancer. But why do you smoke? However, many people cannot quit smoking because they like it, even if they know it will be better for them. I mean, to quit smoking. They know it by the head, but they say it's hard to quit smoking because I like it. Of course, there are some people who quit smoking within a few days by the power of the Holy Spirit. But in most cases, they have to make a great effort to quit it. But because the shepherd says it's easy, when they try to obey him, depending on that word, his word is planted in their heart, and then they come to believe it easy. So they can take the rock out and put out their thorns little by little. After all, they get strength to quit it once they decide to quit it. And after time passes by, they rather wonder why they liked it, and finally, they quit it. Likewise, our shepherd has planted faith and goodness in us when we get rid of sins. He said we could do it and it would be easy. He doesn't say like, it's hard and difficult. I lived a distrusted Christian life. But he says, it's easy. He told us we can do it because we have faith and we love God. It became a driving force for us to cultivate our hearts to the field of good soil easily. So many of you came to say in one voice that it's not difficult to get rid of even sinful nature combined with the body. We can do it. It's easy. And let's go into spirit together. Most of all, our shepherd gave a clear hope for New Jerusalem. He showed how glorious place it is by showing us the spiritual realm. He explained about it enough already in his book, Heaven. But for those who don't have faith, he helped them to be confident through the testimonies of 8 people through the separation of spirit in 2013. Moreover, he produced a video of the castle of the shepherd for the souls whose spiritual eyes were closed. He unfolded the spiritual deep space to us. Also, in May this year, by inviting us to his prayer place, he gave even the space of his rest to us so that we can feel the joy in heaven at least for some moments. Even in the time of feeling justice because of our sins, since 2010, he's never said it was hard. Even though he received all the sufferings with his whole body, he didn't want to show it to us. He told us with his deeds, this is faith, this is how to trust God. In addition, he poured the holiness gospel and the power into us as the best of fertilization so that our soil could become fertile. Now, I hope you can find the rocks in your heart field quickly. Then, find the reason of the rocks. Once you know the root of the rock, it can be solved easily. If you just pray to get rid of hatred only, it may take long. But if you discover the root by the help of the Holy Spirit, as our shepherd said, you can pull out your rock quickly. Next, I'll explain about the thorny fields. What kind of field is a thorny field? Matthew 13:7 says, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. The thorns are the multiple branches of thorns that look like a bush. When we saw the seeds might fall near the thorns outside the field. But if the seeds fall among the thorns, they can sprout and grow up to some extent. But if the field is thorny, eventually the seeds cannot bear fruit. They grow up to some extent, then they grow anymore. They grow no more. If I compare the roadside-like field with the rocky field, the roadside cannot accept the word itself, but the rocky field can understand the word, but they cannot practice the word. But although the thorny fields believe and practice the word, these are not in accordance with the will of God. Matthew 13:22 explains well about the reason. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. That is, the word cannot grow because of the worries of the world and the temptations of money. Let me give you some examples in details. There is a thorn called the worries of the world. There are people who are worried about various problems, such as problems about children, financial problems, and so on. Even though they have been a Christian for years, their faces are full of worries and anxieties. Also, although they attend worship service, pray, and perform their given duties, if they think, it's a peak hour in my business, I shouldn't be doing this work at this hour. Or there are so many works to do than these. Then God cannot accept your deeds joyfully. Even if you are faithful for God's work. Even though he wants to pay you back 30, 60, or 100 times more than what you've done for him, he's not able to do so. Then, what should we do? Matthew 6:33 and 34 say, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own." Do with faith whatever you do for God, and please leave it to God wholly. Next, there is a thorn called temptations of wealth. For example, you know the rule of answer. When you run your business in the right path, you can be blessed. But there is a chance that you can make a great fortune by little flexibility. Then, some of you think, I receive great blessing, and I'll give my tithe twice more than now, and I'll help the church greatly, and go off the right path under the name of flexibility. Or some people buy a lottery for hoping for luck, saying, if I win, I'll give a great amount of offering to God. The Bible says that you reap as you sow, you're paid as you do, and you're blessed when you walk the right path. But you use your own fleshly thought from your greed. So you cannot gain the fruit of perfect blessing given by Father God. Likewise, the thorny field disobey the word of God by rationalizing it after their benefit, differently from the rocky field who don't disobey while knowing it is a disobedience. For example, if you act against the word in order to gain wealth and honor because you are full of greed, it's a rocky field. But those who have the thorny heart field say, this is not to take the world. It's okay with this much. It's a way to help the church and change the world by their own thoughts. They say they practice the word, but after all, they don't practice the word because of fleshly thoughts. We can see another form of this case that people keep the word from their own fleshly thoughts. For example, some people watch the great King Sejong, the drama, while ceasing to pray. Then they say, it's important to obey the shepherd's word. I'll pray after this later. Moreover, they take the world thinking, watching historical dramas helps much. If I watch other historical dramas or other dramas, it will help more to discern good from evil. And still, they think they're doing well. In other case, you prayed so hard to get rid of feeling of being ill-treated. You took care of birthdays or any family event of the members of your group diligently because you wanted to pile up goodness more. However, one day, you have an occasion to be celebrated, but people didn't remember your birthday. As they don't celebrate it, you feel so unfair. It would be better if you think in a good way, but you don't try to pull out the thorn of ill feelings, but close your heart thinking, people don't know the duty, they don't have love, I don't need to care of them neither, and you stop talking with others. No matter how hard you pray and try to get rid of it, because of the thorn called ill feelings, you cannot bear the fruit of goodness or love. Likewise, if your heart is thorny filled, although you seem to practice the word, because the thorns is stinging the words, you cannot bear the fruit after all. Dear members, there is an easy way to pull out the thorns. It is to realize that how much the thorns can cause our heart's pain. Let's say a very tiny thorn got stuck in your finger. It doesn't give a great pain nor a threat to your life. But you feel discomfort whenever you use the finger, and sometimes it hurts. When you do something, as you're disturbed by the thorn, you cannot do the work normally. Likewise, the thorns in your heart will keep you from bearing the fruit of the word, even if you don't feel it, a big obstacle. Then you may believe in God, but you have many worries and no satisfaction in heart all the time, and you don't even receive any significant blessings. How frustrating this situation is. If you always meditate on the word of God and pray thinking about why you are still keeping the thorns that caused you pain, then the Holy Spirit will let you realize the uselessness of thorns. If you deeply realize it, you can pull out the thorns at once. Then the sprout of the word will grow well to bear fruit, and you will have the true happiness. I hope you can taste this true joy of fruit. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a conclusion. I explained about the roadside, the rocky field, and the thorny field. Did you check your heart field by yourself? Let me explain about a field of good soil. The heart of good soil is the field without any rock or thorns at all. Also, the field of good soil is the field that produces 30, 60, or 100 times as you've sown, as it is in to this passage. Namely, if you listen to the word of God, you put it into practice and produce much fruit. Once you found out a rock or a thorn, you cannot just watch them. You should focus on cultivating it into the field of good soil. There have been so many seeds of blessings given to this church. Father God gave a rain of grace so that we could cultivate our heart field. Father God of love will plant seeds in our hearts more abundantly. We cannot let the blessing pass by again. We all should become the fruit in this flow of Holy Spirit, where the original voice and light was given. Is there anyone who says, "My heart is too hard to break. There are too many rocks, or thorns cover the whole my heart"? 1 Timothy 4:5 says, "For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." As it says, there is no shortcut to sanctification. You need to try unceasingly by the word and prayer to pull out the rocks and thorns. And we all can do it because we have the power of the shepherd. We are pouring the nutrition such as the word of life and the works of the power into our heart to make our hearts fruitful. At this time, we have another precious chance. It's the summer retreat with the shepherd. Year by year, the power becomes greater and the authority of the word becomes greater. But if you don't have a longing heart and earnestness, you'll feel the power and the word as the same before. If you believe that the summer retreat is a chance of grace given by the Father, you will prepare your vessel diligently with a longing heart for change. All you have to do is to check yourself diligently and to prepare yourself with prayer and fasting. Then every word will sound new to you, and the great power of the shepherd will come upon each of you so that the rock can be broken and the thorn can be pulled out. You must surely take this opportunity. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may cultivate your heart as the field of good soil and bear beautiful fruit both in spirit and body this year of the flow of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray thinking of the message.
대해서 스스로 점검하는 또 말씀을 들었습니다. 나는 혹 길가밭인지 돌밭인지 가시떨기밭인지를 또 점검할 때에 이제는 우리 목자님의 크신 권능 또 목자님의 생명의 말씀 또 우리에게 주어지는 이 수련회를 통하여서 하나하나 내 돌과 가시를 뽑아낼 수 있는 그 원인을 찾고 발견하여져서 더 감사한 마음으로 기쁜 마음으로 버릴 수 있는 우리들 모두가 되게 하여 주옵소서. 그래서 아버지 넘치는 이 축복의 이 수련회 우리 모두가 그 주인공으로 나올 줄 믿습니다.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. It's time to receive the prayer for the sick of senior pastor. Please lay your hands on your sick part. If you don't have a sick part, please receive the prayer for your desiring heart. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all the believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart. Drive away negative thoughts and doubts and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away, light come. Please scorch all their terminal incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, urine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral palsy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid disease problem, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all of inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated disc, back pain, headache, and neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leave. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute speak. Heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Let no scar remain. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, cells, and cell tissues be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problem. With the fire words of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.